You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Black.
Oh, hey! Oh! Hey!
Hi!
Hi, Valentine!
Hello!
We're on our way to the Cupcake Theater just before Valentine's Day. And it's Bonoboville on the road to the golden age of adult cinema.
Broadcasting from the after party of Golden Age of Adult Cinema here at the Cupcake Theater. And there are my little cupcakes.
We
have candy. Can I entice any of the stars with candy? There's Seika walking over
Seika, her way, right? Good old days of Seika.
Well, of course, I just heard all of them give these talks, interviews with Nick Santamarina. Well, Nina Hartley is here, and Christy Canyon is here.
Joe Petty.
And Portia Lynn is here. And, you know, all kinds of people. Those are the people that were up there giving their little life stories and big, iconic presences in so many people's sex lives. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. The golden age of adult cinema. Oh, who do we have here?
Who is this? Here we go.
Let's do this. Hi!
Talk onto the mic.
Hi. So you can hear yourself.
Yes.
Hey, welcome to the Dr. Susan Block Show.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So would you like a chocolate?
Well, I am chocolate.
Yes.
Yes.
But doesn't mean you don't eat chocolate.
I don't, because I am.
You are chocolate.
I eat white chocolate, though.
I like to eat chocolate. Does that mean I could eat you?
Yes. You totally can.
Oh, wow. Well, that would be great. I would love to do that. So, chocolate. Whoa. Were you in the audience tonight?
I was in the audience tonight.
And what brought you to the golden age of adult cinema tonight?
Well, this past AVN marks my 1-year anniversary.
Yay.
I've been shooting, as far as adult film, I've been in adult entertainment now for about 7 years, from dancing to webcam. And, but, you know, I knew Christy Canyon. I did Vivid Radio multiple times with her. Nina Hartley, you know, I would run into her.
All that descriptive radio.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right.
And just Nina. And for me, like, I honestly love what I do. And, you know, I don't know, I can't speak for anyone else in the new era of...
Well, you're pretty new era to me.
That's what I'm saying, and
yeah.
I can't speak for anyone else, but for me, growing up very open with sexuality and making that decision to display that publicly, I feel like you should want to learn from the four founders and the people that have paved the way for you. So that was one of my goals when I got into, especially as a brown skin girl, to contact Heather Hunter and Missy Stone and just really, you know, get insight to them just from maybe a racial perspective, but then having Nina and having Christy and
Christy's part Armenian, right?
Well, you know, but just in general, just having, and even you, like I said, I grew up hearing your name. So just taking the time to come to this event and just hear their perspective and what they went through and what they've overcome. And just, you know, it gains insight to how I can apply that now.
Did you watch any of them when you were younger?
Okay, so my mom's going to totally fucking kill me.
Mom, check this out.
I'm so sorry. Okay, so my mom used to have, like, old Playboys, old, like, Penthouse magazines, and, you know, and like I said, we grew up really open, and my mom hid the fact that she was a dancer for a very long time. For about 14 years, she hid it in our attic, and that was her, like,
past
mom zone, you know? And so she would have old outfits and shoes and all these magazines. And I found this DVD, or VHS, because that was back in the day, VHS. And I...
How old were you when you found it?
Oh, gosh, I think I was maybe 13.
Ooh.
And one of those where
that's too young. That's not teenage massage parlor. That's more for 18-year-olds. But okay, but it happened.
But, you know, she went out of her way to hide, you know, that side of her.
Trying to be a good mom.
Yeah, so she took the sleeve with the graphics off the DVD or the VHS case and had one of those old school, like, black, just empty, you know, like, cases for the I didn't know what the DVD was.
And had you ever had sex before?
No, not at that time.
You were a virgin.
It was because of that. Christy Canyon.
Christy Canyon opened you up.
And I can't remember the name. I will have to find that name and I will reach out to you and I'll let you know the name of that video. But she just had a ball of energy and she looked happy.
Yes.
And growing up so open sexually, but then also growing up in a semi-religious community.
What religion?
A Jehovah's Witness. Yeah.
Ooh, that's very religious.
Right. Very, very. So to see, finally to see it, you know, and see a woman take control of it and be so happy, to me, that was cool. Because we didn't get to see that growing up. So.
Sing hallelujah.
Yay.
Yay. Amen and amen. Yes. Well, and what made you get into porn yourself?
Well, I actually could have got in earlier. I think maybe that was maybe 3 or 4 years ago, while I was stripping, I started working for this like erotic bikini, like skimpy bikinis, like micro mini bikinis. And they partnered with Streamate back in the day as far as cam. I started camming. And 2015, I was nominated for Best Ebony of the Year for webcam. And I met Tara Lynn Fox while she was feature dancing. And she was going to bring me out here to L.A. and introduce me to all, you know, this crazy world. And I said, no, because something in me, I just didn't feel ready. And part of me now knows that I didn't explore myself sexually and learn who I was and what I liked and what I didn't like. Because you can't be a good performer if you don't know yourself.
Right.
And something told me, don't do it. And I didn't, but I kept in contact. And after that nomination, I sent out some pictures to OC Modeling, LA Direct, I think like two others. And then I started, and I my first, and then I already knew Gianna Michaels, and she was casting for Reality Kings, and I went in, and she's like, gosh, your face looks familiar. And I'm like, yeah, you were just fucking butt naked at my club, and she hired me, and I'm here.
And here you are.
Yeah.
And how would you answer that question that someone asked tonight? What's the difference between sex on camera and sex that's just for you?
Yeah. You know what? I get asked variations of that question all the time.
Yeah. So you must have a good answer.
Well, I get asked all the time more so what's the difference between the porn and escorts or strippers or whatever, you know? And to me, the same applies. For a girl that's getting paid to do it, when it becomes a job, you're selling a performance.
Yeah,
you know? And you're not selling the sex. So
whether it's an audience of 1 or 1 million.
Or 1 million. You're selling that performance. So even if, you know, you don't, especially for girl, because women, we're sensitive creatures and we're sensual creatures and we're intellectual and mind-driven creatures. So if we don't like each other, you know, you have to literally be a professional and be able to take that out of it and find your happy sexual Zaza Zoo and just
I
do
love
it,
your
you know?
Happy sexual Zaza Zoo.
Yeah.
Where
you,
is that? Is that like a place you go or a level you reach?
I think it's a level I reach, honestly, because I said on Christy Canyon show, I feel I masturbate every day in the mirror. And with
so
no...
So you look at yourself.
Yes, with
so
no
So you're still in the visual.
Absolutely. No dildos, no Hitachis, none of that. I literally sit in the mirror with my hands, with my own body, and touch myself and look at myself. Because if you can't... I just feel like if you can't fuck yourself and make love to yourself and in the best way possible, how are you going to explain that to somebody else to where they please you the right way? It's impossible to me. So,
well, that is true. The best way to tell someone what you like is to know what you like.
Right.
You know, and you have to teach yourself.
For sure. And I think that's why I said no originally to Tara, because I was still really young and, you know, I know I look young.
But so much goes on in a woman inside.
Yes.
I wonder what it would be like if you put a blindfold on and then masturbated.
See?
Or had sex,
wow.
So you couldn't see, because a little bit of sense deprivation enhances the other
Absolutely.
Senses.
Absolutely, I do go blind. I go blind eating all the time, and that is like
blind eating.
Blind
eating.
Blind,
what if
blind
I fed
dining?
You chocolate? You might like it.
I might eat some.
Here, close your eyes.
Okay.
Close your eyes.
Should
blind
I open my
eating.
Mouth?
Yeah, open your mouth and close your eyes, and in goes my. Surprise.
Oh my God. Mm. That is good.
It is good. See, you liked it when you couldn't see it. You really liked it.
Yeah.
And you looked great, you know, eating it. And you still, well, now it's all over you. But it still looks great. And you are great. And you're going to be a legend. You're going to be an icon.
Stop it.
This is where you're going to be. I mean, where do you want to be 20, 30 years from now?
Honestly, it's not about awards to me. It's not about followers to me. I just grew up very, very different. And like Riley, I'm very, very mixed. And so added that with open sexuality here in America is so shunned upon. And it's so looked down upon. And I want 20 years from now, especially not to be racial, because I don't think it's a matter of race. I just feel like, though, especially when it comes to brown-skinned women or just women, I feel like I don't understand, because I'm divorced, and I don't understand how a woman can be married to a man for 10-plus years, have his children, and have to go in the bathroom and lock the door and turn on the shower and turn on the sink to masturbate. I want 30 years from now for a woman to see what we do so openly and publicly and gain that sense of confidence to be able to sit on their bed and fuck themselves and have their man come in the house and see that, because that's what they want to see. They've married you. They've
Testify,
given you their,
sister.
Their spawn. You
Absolutely.
Know?
Yes. Very you know? Good. Well, you are an educator. And, you know, you could be a politician. What do you think?
Maybe. I could be like Mary Carey. I can run for a governor.
Yeah, you could. Know? I mean, are you into politics?
Yes and no. Yes and no. I feel like sometimes the deeper you go in, sometimes it can be you can lose sight of reality. But I feel like it's very important, especially me being 26 and a young girl in this day and age. It's very important that you know what's going on. I'm originally from Sacramento, so when Prop 60 was going on, I went. That was my that gave me an
the
extra
Julia
reason.
Ashton and the Free Speech Coalition, Susie Q. Jim.
Yes, to
they
go
were on
home
the show. Yeah,
and to
it was
let
very
people
successful.
Know absolutely, because people don't understand, and especially this generation is so naive that they just believe whatever CBS is saying, and especially when it comes to us and what we do, you know. And this is so vital. Sex is human. It's we wouldn't be here without
it's
it. So
not
learn.
Just human.
Yes.
It's way beyond human.
Yes.
And it's even beyond bonobos. I'm a big fan of bonobos.
Okay.
You know about bonobos?
No, I don't.
Bonobos are the make love, not war.
Okay.
Great ape.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
They swing through the trees as
yes.
well as
it's
with
primal.
Each other.
Yes.
They are the porn stars of the great ape world.
That's amazing.
And they're very female empowered.
Okay.
You know, they have a lot of sex, the girls and the girls and the boys and the boys and the girls and the boys.
Yeah.
And the girls.
That sounds like me. The girls and the boys, the girls and the boys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. You have to come to Bonoboville. Visit
I would
us.
Love to.
You know, we have a hangout.
Okay.
West LA in Bonoboville.
Oh, yeah.
And, we'll come up with something you like better than chocolate.
Oh, I like ladies.
Mm.
I like ladies better than chocolate.
I just kissed your headphone, but it was hot.
That's okay.
Hey, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you
this
so
was
much.
A wonderful surprise.
This is such an honor to be able to sit with
such
you.
Oh, such an honor to have you here.
Thank you.
Happy Valentine's Day.
I know, happy Valentine's
yeah,
Day.
Yeah, you know, Valentine's Day is really Lupercalia.
What does that mean?
Do you know about Lupercalia?
No, what does that mean?
It's basically floggers, not flowers.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yes.
I like
it's an
that.
Ancient pagan Roman
yes.
holiday
yes.
that is, it actually takes all the commercialism out of Valentine's Day.
Yeah,
because
that's good.
Really, this heart, doesn't look like the cardiac organ, does
right,
it?
Exactly.
It looks like.
Exactly. It's
can
a
you
shape.
Turn around?
Oh, it looks like. Oh.
Here's what it looks like. That's exactly right. It's a heart-shaped
heart. I would totally show you guys, but I have no panties
right,
on.
Right,
right.
Well,
sorry.
You know, she does porn. Go commando all the time. But you get the idea. Heart-shaped.
Yes.
Heart-shaped is what it's all about. So happy Lupercalia, and
yes.
We're going to have you come to Bonoboville.
I hope so. It
okay.
would be an honor. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yay.
Yay.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much. It was such an honor.
Oh,
no,
thank you for coming
I seen you.
You're beautiful.
You did like, I don't know if it was a documentary or something, but
yes.
you were like just, you were just talking about sex openly. And then
yes.
I searched you like radio and everything.
Oh,
and you're,
thank
did,
you.
No, it's such an honor to me. It's
thank
amazing.
You. Okay. Back with the headsets. Thank you. Thank you. Woo, one of my children, one of my girls, I brought her up. Yes, and now she's a beautiful, hot harlot. Mm-hmm. Chocolate. Ah. And I did get her to eat my chocolates. So there. Mm-hmm. So we are here. We are the Dr. Susan Block Show. And it is Bonoboville on the road. And the road we are on is here at the Cupcake Theater, and we're having some cupcakes. Oh, here's my cupcake. Right, I keep eating the icing a little bit at a time. Mmm, just like I would with your cum. And it's Valentine's Day, and it's the golden age of adult cinema. That is the show that we're at here. Hello there, John. All this talk about escorting, and now I have a guy named John. Wow, this is exciting. And your last name is Joy?
Well,
no.
I run Club Joy in Los Angeles, the biggest swingers club in Los Angeles.
Ooh.
I think we've actually exchanged emails a couple of times.
Probably. With Joy.
With Joy, yes.
Absolutely. Well, welcome to the Dr. Susan Block Show on
Thank
the
you.
Road here at the golden age of adult cinema. Did you enjoy the show?
I did. This is a second production I've seen of David's, and he's a friend of mine. He's been to the club a few times.
Yeah. You saw Deep Throat.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. That was amazing. So were any of these stars icons that you grew up on?
You know, Christy Canyon holds a special place in my heart, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and maybe some other parts of your body.
Well, yeah, we definitely explored parts. Well, at least in my mind, we explored parts of my body together.
Uh-huh. And so did she inspire you to become a swinger?
I wouldn't say it was any girl in particular. I think...
Well,
Playboy
after all,
magazine,
swinging is about different girls and guys.
True,
yeah.
Very true. If anything, maybe Playboy magazine, probably when I was a kid, inspired me.
But yeah, well, there you go. So that inspired you. So many women, I can't just have one. I got to be a swinger.
Well, there is that, yeah. I think it's natural. It's like you wrote in your book, people have desires that go beyond the monogamous restraints of marriage.
So you've read The Bonobo Way.
Well, I'm very familiar with it. Yes.
Okay, well, that almost counts. Right, you have to read it or get read by it. And that means a little spanking. Yes, book spanking. There he goes.
Thank you,
right,
Dr. Susie, I needed that.
He is getting in the mood for Lupercalia.
Lovely hat.
Well, yeah. So, John, did you watch Portia Lynn when you were a kid? Did you watch Seika?
Yes, I remember a little bit. You know, when I was a kid, porn was a little more restrictive than today. You can't just flip on the internet and see as much as you can now.
Yeah.
We have
Do
to,
you still watch porn now?
Probably not. My life is sort of a... you know, I see it every live every weekend.
So what goes on at Club Joy?
Well, it's a swingers club. We have dancing and the bar and lounge area, and then we have a bunch of different play areas.
And do you have a regular partner yourself, or do you mix and match all the time?
Well, for the most of the time I did, and right now I guess I'm mixing and matching.
Ah, well, you get to, you're the owner, you get your pick, I guess.
I wouldn't say that, no. Most of my weekends are more like work than pleasure.
How do people get involved with Club Joy?
Well, they would go to clubjoy.com. They can read through a lot of information there about the lifestyle itself, the club in specific, and they can read through the rules and what to expect. And if they're interested, they can fill out the required profile. If we approve them, then we'll send them an email with further instructions.
Do you think life is better for swingers now or in the golden age?
That's hard to say. I don't know.
Would you like a chocolate? Would that help?
I'm okay. I'm not sure if it's less restrictive now than it was then. I think in the 70s it was probably less restrictive. I heard or read a L.A. Times article that said that at one point there were 16 swing clubs in L.A., and now we really have one.
Ah, right, right, right. Things were a little bit more under the radar, but it was more happening.
Yeah, I think, a little less restrictive at mm-hmm. that time.
Yes, it's amazing how things are more restrictive now in many ways than they were back in the golden age. No wonder so many of us look to our computers and other devices for our pleasure. Anyway, it's nice to know that there are still people getting together in the flesh just for the sake of the flesh and not necessarily even recording it, although I guess you do sometimes, but mostly not. Mostly
no, we don't
private,
record it at all. We don't allow any cameras or
wow.
video, representations of what happens at the club outside.
All right, John.
But it's,
well, good
it's
for
fun
you
for, the night.
For keeping it going. How long have you been running Club Joy?
6.5 years.
Well, congratulations.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah. Okay,
it's
we'd
been
love
a rocky
to see
road,
you in Bonoboville one day.
We'd love to come.
Yeah.
It was a very great pleasure meeting you. I've been wanting to meet you for a
okay.
long time.
Okay. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. And he didn't knock my hat off. Wow.
Thank you, Dr. Susie.
Portia Lynn, I'm so happy to have you on the show. You know, I've had Nina mm-hmm. and Seika and Christy on my show.
And
I've never had you. And I'm just so excited, and I just love your outfit. You,
thank you
have got the most sexy dress, very short,
it's a
to show
romper.
Off those million dollar
always
legs.
Always showing off the legs. You got to
yes.
show your assets, right? I'm
absolutely. I do too. But I love the way you have Jesus helping you.
Yes,
show your
always
assets right
Jesus.
Here.
It's actually a Celtic cross, but
is it a? Yeah, are you a witch?
The damn yes, I am. the damn Christians ripped off our Celtic sword cross.
You know, and the damn Christians ripped off Valentine's Day.
I know. It and was, my birthday on top of it.
Yes.
How dare
yes.
they?
Yes. And so you know about Lupercalia. Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of giving you a little.
I was going to say, are you giving me a little stimulation? Oh, my
with
God.
With my Jux leather finger flogger. Yes. And you are just such a queen of so many areas. Porn, BDSM, being a strong woman, being a survivor.
Yeah.
We heard your story tonight, and it was, I mean, the most dramatic story. I was inspired by all these women because so many of them grew up really normal, really just, you know, kind of almost white picket fence.
Uh-oh.
And they got in.
Oh, there it is.
They got into mm-hmm. porn because they like sex. Now, you, I think, also like sex.
I did get into porn because I like sex. I really like sex. I think it is like the most grateful thing that spirit gave us is the ability to orgasm.
Absolutely.
And it's the one thing that separates us from the animal world, except for dolphins, because dolphins have been proven to have sex just for the sexual. Oh, gorillas too?
Bonobos.
bonobos?
Bonobos are the make love, not war chimpanzee. They swing from the trees and with each other. They're like the porn stars of the great ape world.
Okay.
And they're very female empowered.
Okay.
They do a whole BDSM thing.
Ah.
Yes, yes. I gotta teach you about the birds and the bees and the animals.
Yes, I'd be happy to
learn. I mean, humans have some interesting sex.
I'm usually much more comfortable with animals than I am with humans.
Well, I'm not going to say you should have sex with bonobos, but you might be inspired, you know, further along your amazing career.
Absolutely.
They're very close to us. They're 98-point-something% genetically similar to us. Yes, yes.
And they have sexual stimulation just for fun, not to procreate.
Absolutely. They have it for recreation, not just procreation.
There you go.
And for relations.
Yes.
Relationships.
Sure, okay.
And politics,
yes.
You know.
And great.
That's why they do it. I mean, obviously, they're having female-female sex and male-male, so they're not doing that for procreation.
No,
yeah.
That's for sure.
But in any case, they are the porn stars of the great ape world, and you are one of the great porn stars of all time.
Well, I'm one of them, that's
yeah,
for sure.
Well,
yeah, we could say that.
I did say that. And even though you got into sex because it's so much fun and porn because sex is so much fun, I was just transfixed by the way you were brought into the world. When you were very young, something terrible happened.
Right.
And you turned it around. Can you just sort of summarize for my audience how you came into the world? I mean, at 5 years old, you had this experience.
Yeah, well, I mean, the story is kind of an interesting backdrop. My father was a Korean War veteran, heavily decorated Master Gunnery Sergeant in the USMC.
Yeah.
Came back from Korea with a ton of post-trauma
PTSD.
Problems.
Yeah, yes.
A ton of it.
Yeah.
And my mother was 18 years old, and she met this incredible, my father was stunning, tall, dark, handsome, just fucking gorgeous man. And my mother was 18, he was in his 40s, my grandmother said that when the two of them met, it was like sparks flew.
Right.
And she said it was either going to be a fire that was going to either consume them or or a fire that was going to be a good thing. So even my grandmother said that. So out of that came this incredible relationship that they had for several years. My mother got pregnant. They weren't married yet. She took me to California for 3 years, raised me, came back to Michigan, married my dad. And still, it wasn't quite right because my father just had never really healed from the war.
Right, right.
And so, with that in mind, he there was times when he had gotten physical with her and had beaten her. I don't have any memories of that. I don't know if he ever did it in front of me, but I have no memories of that. My grandmother said that happened, and she just said enough was enough. I'm gonna divorce you.
Yeah.
And so on the day of the divorce being finalized, we were in the car. My grandmother and I was in the back seat. My grandmother's in the front seat. My mom got out of the car to get the divorce papers signed, and he shot her basically at the door immediately. And all my grandmother remembered was, "Mom, he's got a gun," and I'm in the back seat, and I'm five. I'm not really processing this.
Right,
I'm not really processing it. So I just remember my grandmother screaming, and it seemed to me like all hell had broken loose.
And
my grandmother grabbed me out of the car, ran across the street. There was a big factory across the street.
God and goddess bless your grandma.
Yeah, my grandmother's an amazing Irish grandmother. Like, pure, staunch Irish as Irish can be.
Yes, I see her Irish eyes smiling right through you.
I bet, absolutely. And so it was a situation that I have learned to have a lot of forgiveness for my father. That is part of the healing, is that we forgive people. If you keep harboring things and saying, you know, I had to reconcile that with my father.
Yeah.
And I had to get to a place where I could really forgive him. And that was important for part of my healing process. And it was also important that I move on and not be a victim of my life.
And that is such a beautiful thing that you could do that, that you can do that, because I'm sure every day
can do it.
You do it.
Anybody can do it.
Well, yeah, anybody theoretically can do it,
they
but
can.
A lot of people don't.
A
they
lot of
let
people don't.
Themselves yeah. get knocked down by
right.
life.
And sometimes, you know, the demons are so strong. It takes a lot to battle those demons where you just want to, you know, I used drugs. I used alcohol. Mm. I used a lot of things
and
to
did
anesthetize.
You use porn? Was that something
well, you know,
to battle
Howard
the demons?
Howard Stern always said that to me. Howard Stern was like, oh, you were molested, so of course you're going to be in porn. And I said, well, I
think not very
think
many
that,
people who are in porn were molested.
I think that there's
some, but
there's
not
some
that
truth
many.
To that, though. I can
okay.
admit that there's okay. some truth because of the fact that even when I was being molested by my uncle, I never once said no. I was, you know, I was 10. I was 10, 11, 12. I never once said no because it felt good.
Ooh.
And I also knew that if he was molesting me, he wasn't beating me. So even then, I knew there was a game going on.
Yeah.
And I knew that it brought me a certain kind of attention. And I can say honestly now that going into porn definitely brought me a lot of attention.
And it prevented you from getting your teeth knocked out.
It prevented me from getting my teeth knocked out. But it brought me a lot of attention. You know,
yeah.
there was a lot of adoration. There was a lot of doting on me. I mean, I came in a time when it was a magical world. I spent 4 years in Europe shooting porn. It was a really, I was under contract. I, you know, the money was flowing. It was limousine. And fur coats, and it was an amazing time. So I think that I can agree with Howard Stern on a little bit of that. I don't know that everybody that's molested.
No, not everybody.
Anything,
I mean, the four women that were up there, it seemed that it was you. I mean, unless the others just kept that out. But they seemed to have, you know, pretty matter-of-fact upbringings
right.
with that regard.
Right.
But I think it varies so much because there's so many women in porn, especially nowadays. It's like
absolutely.
People come from all different backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think it's important that you tell your story, not so much because you're in porn, as because you are a survivor, you are a strong woman
mm-hmm.
that dealt with something that could have killed you.
Right.
And
absolutely.
Not just by somebody shooting you.
Yeah.
Well, just not
yeah.
that, but through drugs or through just
yeah,
being
drugs, alcohol,
just hurting
inappropriate
yourself.
Inappropriate behavior.
Yes.
I did a lot of stuff that was like just totally inappropriate behavior.
Well, don't we all?
Unsafe, you know. But I think it's important. The other thing, there's a healing process when you tell your story, is that every time you tell it, you get on the other side of it a little more.
Yeah, yeah.
So every time you tell it, it kind of takes the charge away from the story and brings the power back to me.
Yes.
So,
and you were born on Valentine's Day.
I was
Day.
Born on Valentine's
wow.
Day. My mom went into labor. At least this is the story my grandmother told me. My
Would
mom
you like
went,
a chocolate?
No. you bitch.
I have to offer. It is Valentine's Day.
It is Valentine's Day. So the story is my mom went into labor on the 13th. And in the afternoon, and it was back in the day when they were letting them have long, long labors. And so by midnight, she still hadn't had this baby. And of course, all the nurses were like, oh, just hold out for a little longer and you'll have a Valentine's baby. My mom was 18 years old. I think she was like, just
yeah,
get this fucking baby out of me. So
wow.
So I was born about 3 o'clock in the morning on Valentine's Day.
Wow.
So,
and you are a sweetheart. You
thank
really
you.
Are. And
thank you.
And you really turned around a lot of bad stuff, turned it into good stuff, and did it with the help of porn. I mean, would you say, I would say you were abused as a child. I mean, I'm glad you have a good attitude about it, but you were abused. Have you ever been abused in the porn industry?
Never.
All right.
Never, but I gotta
tell
you.
Because that's a stereotype that a lot of people have.
I never, ever was. But I got to tell you, I had a very strong bottom line. I was not going to take any shit from anyone.
Now, that's interesting because you took so much shit from your uncle. And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, they took a little
shit,
girl.
But you know,
girl.
When you're a kid, you don't have anywhere else to go.
Yeah.
You know, when you've gotten passed around from orphanages to foster homes.
And maybe you thought inside, I'm never going to let a man take advantage of me again.
You know
again.
What I thought
gonna,
at that
I'm
time,
gonna be
to
in
be
charge.
Honest with you, I thought, I can't wait till I'm 18 years old and I can have my own life.
That's
what I
kept thinking.
I can
have my own life and my
That's
own sex.
That's what I always kept thinking,
but
as my
now
own life.
You're like a dominatrix and mm-hmm. an entrepreneur mm-hmm. and... Do you feel that you channel some of your feelings that we're talking about now?
Yeah, I think so. I think that the domination thing is definitely part of my healing process. I think that doing the domination and being in control definitely is still part of my healing process.
What's your favorite way to dominate?
I'm kind of the femme fatale, the James Bond girl, where you're kind of my age, right? You remember the James Bond movies?
Sure.
Where the girl's really sexy.
Octopussy.
And she's all like into James Bond, and she's like, "Don't you want to come back to my room?"
Oh.
And then
you
like,
slip a Mickey
he's
into
like,
his
yeah,
thing.
And then
yeah.
she, you know, he walks through the door, and she like, you know, judo karates him.
Oh,
and
wow.
breaks him down to his knees.
So yikes.
I'm kind of like the femme fatale, like
dangerous.
The seductive.
Woman.
And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, let's flip this around. I think that it's also, I did a lot of submissive play.
You did.
A lot of submissive play. I did a lot of submissive play as a pro in front of the camera, and I did a lot of submissive play in my own lifestyle. And that was also very healing to have both sides of that, to be in a safe space and to surrender to someone and say, okay, this is what I want done. I want you to tie me up. I want you to flog me. I want you to spank me. I want you to make me come at least 5 times. And the person's like, okay, I can do that. And to be in a safe space and to be able to surrender like that was a really a lot of my healing as well.
Yes, and you were talking about surrender on the stage today in the golden age of adult cinema. Surrender is such a powerful thing. I mean, mm-hmm. in war and in business, surrender means defeat.
Right.
But in love and in sex, surrender means pleasure and sometimes power. There is power in surrender.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a spiritual thing, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I also think that anyone who really knows about the power exchange of domination and submission knows that the submissive is always in control if the dom is in the light with what they're doing. So the submissive is always in control. And it's kind of like when you surrender to water. If you've ever been in water and you can just surrender to the water and float in the water,
yeah.
There's a certain surrender that's there that's healthy.
Well, I think a lot of people right now want to surrender to you. And they find you on the internet, right?
They can find me on the internet. Den of Indomitus.
And your place is in Arizona.
In Phoenix, Arizona. Absolutely.
And we've had such a wonderful time with you.
Thank you
so much for
and
joining us.
And I want to thank you for doing all the good work that you've done.
Thank you.
You do so much sex positive work.
Oh, you
and
bet.
That you've kept at it, and you've got such a great following. And to have somebody so gorgeous and so articulate out there promoting sex positive message is really powerful. It's powerful for women to have you, and it's really powerful for men to have you as well. But, you know, that's a little different.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, yeah.
But I really want to thank you.
You
really are a great image maker and a great image share. And I hope you know that. I've just always thought what you did was so great and just like...
Thank you,
I
darling.
I always just thought you were such a freaking cool chick. So.
Oh, well, I've always thought the same of you.
So.
And I'm so excited to be able to talk to you because you have been an inspiration to me for decades.
Thank you.
It's really great to have Portia Lynn, the iconic, the beautiful, the amazing, and the very spiritual Portia Lynn. Thank you so much for inspiring Bonoboville.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Go Bonobos. You gotta get into Bonobos. I'll give you a book.
I gotta get into Bonobos.
Yeah. So we're at the golden age of adult cinema with Herschel Savage. He can't hear.
I don't hear the headphones.
Can you hear me now? And how about now? Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing, testes, testicles. Testosterone. Hello. Oh, maybe it's because I okay, here we go. This it's Portia Lynn. She made us short circuit.
Isn't Portia Lynn amazing?
She is amazing.
She's
so
amazing.
Beautiful. I've admired her for a long time, and that was the first time I've ever had her on my show.
Oh, congratulations.
I was really excited
She's
to
wonderful.
Have her on.
Did you hear her story? How
yes,
that was?
Yes. We talked about it a little more. You know, it was a terrible beginning, but she really did overcome hardship. I mean, nobody
God.
Else has it tough.
And in a great way.
Yes,
know,
in a very
a
great way. And the porn industry helped her. And how about you? I mean, did you come from hardship? No, you had
not really. I mean, I had kind of a neurotic Jewish family growing up in New York.
You got a bar mitzvah and everything.
I was bar
mitzvahed.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah,
and,
yeah.
It was a relatively normal, you know, there was tension in the house. My father died when I was young. My mother was a very strong woman who sadly passed away this past July at 94.
94.
But she was strong till the end. No
wow.
dementia.
Wow.
Well,
you could keep.
She was
going
still lecturing
too.
Me right at the end.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Herschel Savage, I have one in particular sex therapy client that is just so enamored with you. He just feels you are the perfect man. He imagines that he is you in Debbie Does Dallas.
That's so nice to hear. Well,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's
well,
the shower scene.
He's enamored of my sexuality or my spirit?
Well,
probably my sexuality, right?
Yes. Well, you know, as a sex therapist, I would say they're very related. I would say that your sex you do therapy through your performances, and that you convey the spiritual message that sex is good, that sex is fun, and that it's not something to be totally ashamed of.
No.
So he's, you know, I think he doesn't see it in a spiritual way, though. He just sees it as, you know, really hot. But yeah, he's Jewish too. And yeah, I think he can identify, you know. You know, it's not the same as being bar mitzvahed, but there is a spirituality to being a porn star and to being...
Not generally speaking, I don't believe. For me, in a sense, it was, but I don't think people, when they work through their body and not through their emotion and mind, they can become stilted. And I think that is common to many people that have performed in the industry. Myself, I was a practicing Buddhist, so I sort of looked deeper.
Well, I think it's similar to athletics, you know, to being an athlete.
And
I think there's definitely a spirituality that a lot of intellectuals really admire in athletes and in porn stars. And this guy is an author. He's a book author. So he's kind of an intellectual guy. And he's also an athlete. And so he looks at you, I guess also it is Debbie Does Dallas, you know, because he played football. And so, you know, that inspires him. He just sees that raw male energy that is just so strong and so inspiring.
When you know, when you're 23, 24 years old, when you're 23 or 24 years old, it comes naturally, you know?
Yeah, and you'll always be 23 or 24 on the celluloid. That's the amazing thing. So what are you doing these days?
Well, I started a one-man show, which I performed in July of last year, and I'm working to continue this and work it to the point where I could, you know, take it around the country.
Awesome.
I think I have
a one-man show.
Yeah,
okay.
A one-man show, yeah.
Wow. Well, I happen to know a producer. His name is David Bertolino.
I know. I'm very close with David.
good. Well, you were great in Deep Throat.
Thank you.
Yeah, very, very good.
We had a good time
after Deep Throat. And what does your 94-year-old mom think of you?
She passed.
What did she think? She just passed.
You know, she never actually had a conversation with me like, Harvey, what are you doing? You know, but she said to me at one time, she said, when are you going to get a job?
So what do you think of my question, which is better? When is sex better? In the golden age or now? What do you think? Or porn?
You know, I think the answer that Seika gave was the best. Sex is good at any time. It's what's important is your connection to the person you're with. If you can really connect and come together and not, it's not about performance.
Mm.
It's about touching and embracing. And
yeah.
I think it's more than just sex, certainly for on a mature man like myself. But even as a young man, every scene I was in, in some ways, I was in love with that woman for that time. And I think that's why my scenes stand up today.
Yeah, they sure do. But what about, like, the culture? Do you think that sex was freer then or now?
You know, I don't think sex is, you know, maybe there's a heavier kink factor right now, but for me, I mean, I don't think it was freer. I think we were exploring avenues that were not open to the general public when I started in the 70s that are much more acceptable right now.
But, oh, I don't know. I was part of the general public.
Sure, yes, okay.
It was pretty wild. There was a sexual revolution going on in the
70s. Revolution.
Yeah, there was. So a lot of people were, following your lead, but, out there, maybe not knowing about, you know, 50 Shades and all the different kinks that we know about now, but also maybe not having a lot of the same fears that people have. So in any case, you are definitely a trailblazer. Herschel Savage.
You're a trailblazer, Dr. Block.
Well, we're talking about you. What,
okay, well, I'm changing the subject. Excuse me. But I really admire you. You have an amazingly youthful spirit in embracing sexuality, and you make it fun.
I just want to
give you that compliment from
Thank
me to you.
You
that I really think highly of you and what you do. You know,
that's a big compliment coming from Herschel Savage. It's almost as hot as being asked to do a shower scene with him. Wow, Herschel.
I had some good shower scenes.
Mwah. Thank you.
Okay, so are we done?
We're done.
All right.
I mean, you
thank
know.
You. I enjoyed talking to you during the
Was it good for you? Yeah.
It's always good for me. You have a beautiful voice, by the way.
You should come visit me in Bonoboville on the
where?
Show.
Where?
Bonoboville, L.A.
Where's that?
Bonoboville, L.A. Yeah, Bonoboville.
Is that where you used to be downtown?
No. It's in West L.A.
I would love to come.
Yeah, come on by.
I came by many years ago.
I know you did, to an arrow stage.
Do you have my information? You know how to reach me?
I got David. I will.
Please extend an invitation to me. I'd love to come.
I will. Okay,
yeah.
Sweetheart.
Thank you.
And you
have a sweet husband. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, thank
you
very much.
Okay. Yes, that's my Valentine. Well, Rhonda Jo Petty.
I met Nina Hartley in 2004 when she was just upcoming with Adam and Eve.
Talking to the microphone.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. I've known Nina since 1990, I think. But you, I'm just meeting, and I'm very excited to meet you here, Rhonda Jo Petty. We're at the Golden Age of Adult Cinema, produced by David Bertolino at the Cupcake Theater. Would you like a cupcake? I have fresh ones. Or chocolate?
No, I'm a meat and potato girl.
Oh, well, I know some guys out there who have some...
Meat and potatoes?
Meat, and for that matter, some potatoes. But in any case, before we get to them, let's get to you. You are an icon of the 70s, 80s?
70s. 86 is when I quit.
Yeah, and one of the things that you were known for is being like the porn Farrah Fawcett.
Yes.
Yes,
but
talk
that wasn't
right in the
my
microphone.
Idea in the very beginning. It was a producer, the movie Little Orphan Dusty, Jacob Jacoby, had that idea all along. I did not know it.
Wow.
Until after the movie was released.
Well, we're going to hear all about you and your life, I guess, in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tonight was a bunch of other stars.
Yeah, David. So, yeah, everything kind of happened real fast. And with Bill Margo's passing.
Yeah.
You know, me and David kind of caught up. So, you know, with Bill leaving, which we all very much miss, Bill Margo, it just kind of all connected us together. And David said, you know what, Rhonda? And I said, I'll come. I've never done a signing before.
And by the way, this Golden Age of Adult Cinema production is dedicated to the memory of Bill Margold.
Of course.
One of the patron saints of the adult industry. So now David told me a little story about you that he said I could ask you about.
Okay.
As long as I didn't tweet about it or Facebook it beforehand. But here I am at the golden age of adult cinema with Rhonda Jo Petty. And I understand you had a very special experience at the Kentucky Derby.
Yes.
And when was that?
In 1983.
1983.
And I just found my book from the Kentucky Derby yesterday out of my closet. And all my little number. I got to go to two races between my shows.
Mm-hmm.
I got to go to two races. I was making an appearance there, and of course I was advertised in the newspaper.
And you were dancing?
I was dancing, feature dancer. So of course they always have a big ad in the newspaper whenever I feature dance. But I got to at least hit two races during the Kentucky Derby. And I just found the book today of the, and I did, I won. I won a trifecta.
Wow. Oh, good for you.
So it has, I found.
I didn't know that part of the story.
But I did find my Kentucky Derby book yesterday that I made my bets in and everything, that I was at the Kentucky Derby in 83. And I was working at a club, and of course they advertise you anytime you go to any town to feature.
Yes.
So why I'm at the club one day and I'm kind of standing around the front desk, I see a black car drive up and guys in suits.
A BBC, a big black car.
And guys in suits.
Yes.
Black suits.
Black suits. Wow.
And they come up and they gave me an invitation and they gave me a box.
Ooh.
But you know, at that time in my life, I was busy.
Yeah.
You know, George Bush and police and all that, I hated all
George
that
Bush.
Shit.
What about George?
George Bush Sr.
George Bush Sr., who just threw out the pitch at the something.
Did he? I thought he was in the hospital.
Oh, I thought he did something at some sporting event.
Well,
but
he was in the hospital lately.
Okay, but he's ancient now. He's like in his 90s. It's a miracle he's alive. And certainly, he was better than his son, right, at being president. And
well, no, he wasn't better than his son. He tried to fuck me.
Oh, wait, okay. Let's go back a step before I have any opinions.
Anyway, I'm standing in front of the club at the front desk, as usual. You know, you're working at a club featuring.
Yeah.
The black limo pulls up. The guys in the black suits come up, and they come up to the front desk. They come into the club, and they hand me an invitation and a box. And I go, okay, well, you know, this is from the vice president. I said,
the vice president, of course, Ronald Reagan being president.
No, right, George Bush Sr.
was the vice president.
Yeah, was the vice president at that time in 83. And I'm just like, I could really give a shit, to tell you the truth. You know, I'm busy doing five shows a day. I'm working my ass off, and I didn't really care about politics and who
Such
the fuck the president
a
was.
Cool.
Oh,
party.
My God, I got an invitation to go to the Mile High Club. And then he gave me the vice president's pin in the box. But you open the box, and on the lid of the box is a Ramada Inn with the number of the room.
The Ramada Inn? They don't stay at any nicer place? Wow. Okay.
No, I guess back then in 83, the Ramada Inn was a nice place.
Okay.
In 83, the Ramada Inn was.
And with the key, he had the vice president pin.
I have the vice president.
And the key to his room.
I have George Bush Sr.'s vice president pin. But on the lid of the box is his hotel and his room number.
Did you go?
No.
No?
God damn it. Because, honey.
You were tired from all that dancing.
I did five shows a day. I wanted to go see the horses run. And I hated politics. And I was young and dumb. God, I wish I would have gone, though.
It would have been an interesting adventure.
I even got an invitation to go on the Mile High Club with him.
Well, you know, you're right. He would have just fucked you, so.
And I wouldn't want to fuck that.
No.
You know, he always portrayed himself as this Christian man. Oh, God, I'd like to sit down and talk to his wife today.
Yeah. Well, a lot of hypocrisy in politics
like
in general.
Like father, like son, maybe.
Well, yeah. I mean, the sun.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, does it?
Well, you know, they're all playing around behind the backs of their church constituencies.
Oh boy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, men will be
so,
men.
Yeah. Wow.
Men will
so
be men.
That's amazing that you didn't go and yet you still have the pin.
I have the pin with the room number, yeah.
Yeah. Do you have it here?
No, somebody has it. And I did just find my when I was at the Kentucky Derby, I got to go one day between shows, and I got to be able to stay there for two races. So I found my race book from 83, the Kentucky Derby, and the two races that I was able to bet on. And the one I did win, the trifecta.
Well, that's better than going to sleep with the Vice President of the United States. So,
yeah,
Rhonda
that
Joe
was.
Petty, we
thank you.
We appreciate that. I didn't know that that's how the story ended.
I love that.
I know that, you know,
that was better, winning the trifecta than going to bed with
George Bush Sr.
Oh, Sr., are you kidding me?
He got the mess in Iraq started anyway, although
are
his son did
me?
Do a lot worse there. But, yeah. Rhonda Jo Petty, you've done a lot more good for the world, for humanity,
well, we
than
all, tried. We
all the Bushes tried. Put together.
All of us tried.
You
all
brought sex into our homes. You brought pleasure into our psyches.
Well, it was about women's rights.
Yeah.
It was about free speech or civil rights. It was a time where we were all moving forward and where we are today.
And we're still moving forward.
We got a long ways to go.
We do, especially today. But happy Valentine's Day, even if you won't have a chocolate.
No, I'm not a sweet person.
Do you not like Valentine's Day? Because it's really Lupercalia.
No, I got a bad story with my husband about that one. That's
then you should
story.
Celebrate Lupercalia, really. Really, that's the
no,
original Valentine's Day.
No, but I do want to come to you guys' event on
yes.
the 5th.
On the 5th? What are we doing on the 5th?
Well, somebody told me you were doing the LBGT or something on the 5th, the awards or something. Who was that?
I don't know.
Oh, no, she's right here. What are we doing on the 5th?
That's a whole other thing.
Oh, that's a whole other
thing.
That's
a whole other thing, but I would love to invite you
to... Okay, but anyway, I support the LBGT and...
Well, that's great.
And all that. I will be there for you, honey.
Okay. We'll be there for Jackie. But in the meantime, we'd also like to invite you to Bonoboville.
I'm...
Do you live in L.A.?
I live in Riverside.
All right, babe.
I'm
you should come visit
away.
Us. Yeah, absolutely.
Can I bring a baby goat with me?
Your baby goat?
I got baby goats right
now. Oh, wow. You know
no,
what?
I'm
that
kidding.
Totally goes with Lupercalia, except we might want to eat them.
Feed them.
Yeah.
They're so adorable.
Aww. Okay, here we are with Rhonda Jo Petty at the Golden Age of Adult Cinema.
Next time, we'll talk about Charles Manson.
Mm. Oh, actually, my husband has an experience with Charles Manson.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? I was 13.
He was threatened by him.
Yeah, my dad was, too. But I was only 13.
Yeah.
But my dad was...
Did you meet him?
Oh, yeah. I rode my horses up at Spahn's Ranch all the time.
Oh, you did? Wow.
Yeah.
Well, there's just now, of course, since we've got to go, the show is getting interesting.
There's more to do.
And that's how it goes very often in show business. I'm Dr. Susan Block, and I think we're going home. Love you.
Adios, amigo.
Okay, happy Valentine's Day. Happy Lupercalia. Make love to someone you love tonight, even if that someone
love
is
and forgiveness.
You.
Pure love. No judgment.
True love.
You need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves. But my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Studio One on the World Wide Web.